Good afternoon. Psalm 1 and verse 3 says, "He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water." Any young boy who has been supported by the arms of a really good climbing tree can tell you that trees are firm. Any young boy who has had the really good fortune, the really bad fortune of running into a tree can tell you with even greater confidence that trees are pretty firm. There are the world is full of trees that have stood their ground year after year without really any fear of ever being budged from their spot. So, verse 3 of Psalm chapter 1 is a very encouraging picture that is given to God's people who love meditating on Him and His goodness and on what He has to say. They are like a tree that is firmly planted. But something else that we know, something that's very obvious this time of year where you have evergreens and the living rooms of many people decked out from head to toe, is that trees can be cut down, can't they? Storms knock down trees, saws cut down trees, even the huge sequoias that are out in California, the great big old things that you can drive a car through, even they can be cut down. Even though we may derive comfort from the words of Psalm chapter 1, it still may not keep us from fear. Fear that there are things in this life that are capable of cutting us down. I know that I can do this with a whole lot of different things, but I guess one that comes to mind is health, right? Health is something that most people are concerned with. God has almost blessed us with another year. We're coming up on another year. And if we're being honest, we'd like to see another one. And probably the one after that and the one after that. Again, if we're being honest, we want to be around for a little bit longer. And maybe we fear the diagnosis or the disaster that's going to come along and cut us down from that while we still feel like maybe we have some growing to do. I want to reflect on a passage from the end of Genesis chapter 3. After the sin of Adam and Eve, the Lord takes action, and we read this in verse 22. "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he had taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life." Now I ask, what would be able to cut down that tree? Certainly man wouldn't be able to get to it, but what would be able to? What would be able to cut down what God protects? Now, I don't want to suggest that there's cherubim that are standing next to us with flaming swords to prevent us from any danger that's coming, but do recall that we are rooted. Those of us who are children of God, who have turned our lives over to Him in Christ, we are rooted in a very similar fashion to this tree that we read about. The tree of life was rooted in a place that was paradise. And it was paradise because it was perfect, but it was also paradise because it was the place where God walked freely. We live here. We do. But our true lives are not here. We read this in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." So here in this life, we can see each other's branches, we can see each other's leaves, but our roots and our true home is not here. It is where we can someday walk freely with God. Now, apart from us pulling our roots up, nothing can change that. Nothing will change that. Nothing can cut us down. Not storm, not saw, not sickness, not pain, not death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Though we may suffer loss in this world, our true lives can't be touched. And when I jump into this cycle of fear and worry about anything, whatever it might be, it is because, I am meditating, but I'm meditating on the wrong things. I'm not thinking about God. I'm not thinking about His divine power. I'm not thinking about His unshakable eternal promises. I think and I think and I think about the things I am worried about. And I continue to think about the things that I am worried about and that I am fearful on. I constantly meditate on why I'm afraid instead of the reason why I should have the greatest confidence. God. So let's review a few things that the psalmist gives us to think about. In verse 1 of Psalm chapter 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That which is seated is far easier to knock down than that that is planted and is rooted. This is the position that scoffers find themselves in. And who are scoffers but those that do not believe God? Now, I wouldn't use the term scoffer for myself or, you know, for anybody here, but I will point out that when I am terrified about the things in this world, I'm certainly not showing a whole lot of trust in my God. God tells us through John in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Faith in what? Faith in our own ability to take care of things in ourselves? No, faith in God overcomes. Nothing can protect like the Almighty God. Nothing that we worry about, nothing that we try to change can protect us like God. And if something does happen in this life, He does not allow anything to touch our true lives. Nothing can. No matter the fear or the danger that we face, the only time that we are really and truly on shaky grounds is when we do not believe in Him. But God says about those in verse verse 3, He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever He does, He prospers. And we may think that's wrong, right? We know that we're not going to be prosperous in everything. There's no way, especially not in things like our health and wealth and things like that. We're not always going to be prosperous. Our leaves wither. Our skin withers. Our years wither. But our true life is the eternal one, isn't it? And that doesn't wither. And one day, when we finally inherit that life, it is going to be very obvious to us that that was the more important one, that that is the more important one. And it's going to be one of our greatest causes of joy. But also notice that that's really only part of prosperity. God also says about a prosperous tree that it yields its fruit in its season. Our idea of prosperity may be much, how much we have. You know, whether that may be money or health or whatever it may be. But what makes someone truly prosperous is not just what they have, but what they do with what they have. Think about a tree or a crop. Think about a crop that had this abundance of nutrients and water that it just took in for itself and never did anything with it. It never bore fruit. It never made grain. It didn't do anything like that. What a worthless crop would that be, right? But a crop that produces, that does something with what it's been given and produces in abundance, now that's something worth having. Now think about this. What about a crop that produces not just within one season, but all the time? We can't do that with many things. We can't produce an abundance of money all the time. Sometimes it may seem hard to produce any at all. We can't always produce an abundance of health. But the fruit of giving glory to God and the fruit that comes from walking in His Spirit, that we can produce whenever. Whenever we want. Rich, poor, hungry, full, healthy, not healthy, it doesn't matter. We can always produce fruit giving glory to God. And you know what? That makes us truly prosperous. Can you imagine the man or the woman who is so wealthy that they could give freely all of the time without ever worrying about running out? We can always bear fruit and glory to God. Every single minute of every single day. We can always do that. That makes us rich beyond compare. And we will continue to be so in this life, but most importantly in the one that really matters in verse 4. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Whether we are cut up or whether we are knocked down in this life, the day of judgment is going to matter where we stand, or if we stand. Who is it that's going to stand? God's tree will. The ones that He said that He would plant. The ones that believed in Him and made the most of what they were given within this life, who meditated on what God had to say about them. The congregation of the righteous are going to be the ones who are going to stand eternally planted, like this great forest of trees that has never been touched and will do so eternally. And that's the fact that can never be touched. That is the truth and the promise that stands around us and guards us like a flaming sword to protect us from all harm. Trees do get cut down, and there's going to be many that are going to find out that fact, not in this life, but in the one that really matters. But we're going to stand. And that's something to always think about. If you, this afternoon, feel like it's time that you are saved and can turn your life over to this great God through His Son, Jesus Christ, please come forward and be baptized while we stand and as we sing.